Our scripture today comes from Luke 10, verses 38 to 42. This really speaks to me. Anybody that knows me well knows I love to distract myself with all kinds of nonsensical types of tasks. So it helped me kind of refocus. So maybe it will speak to you as well. Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her."
I guess you're wondering about the title of this sermon. Has anybody looked at the title in the bulletin? So give me, while I'm stalling here, give me your first reaction to that when Jesus was wrong. What was your first thought when you read that sermon title? Okay. We've always been taught that he was perfect. Okay. Okay, your first thought, well, he's human. Yeah. Oh, I'm wrong in saying that Jesus is wrong. And that's what, I mean, that was my hoped for response. That was my hoped for response. Cause I don't think I am. I'm gonna prove to you that I'm not here in a little bit, or maybe not. But let me start. I'm gonna go ahead and do that now. If you turn ahead, not there. It is lost. Wow. That is really something. Okay, there is a passage in John I want to get to. And of course, I had it marked in the, okay. In John 11, there was a certain man named Lazarus who was sick unto death. Remember that story? What does that passage have to do with today's passage about Mary and Martha? Lazarus was their brother. Okay, so listen to this. Okay. Martha said something to Jesus, like, "If you had only been here," you remember that part of it? "If you had only been here, Jesus would not have died." And then Jesus said something that caused her to make a confession of faith, the most perfect confession. "You are the Christ, you are the Messiah, you are He who was to come." Those were Martha's words. So I think Jesus was wrong when he gave Martha a hard time at dinner. Because Martha was multitasking. Mary, the little sister, was... Oh, honey. How many... I am never, ever, ever going to live this down. Oh, man. I don't even want to know where you found it. So it is my supposition that Martha, while Martha was busy about the tasks of her duty as, and get this, who was the head of that household? Martha. Think about that. Jesus empowered women. Jesus honored women publicly. Jesus released the voice of women in his time. Jesus was funded by women. Jesus celebrated women by their names. They were simply known as their husband's wife if they were married. Jesus learned from women. Jesus respected women. Jesus spoke of women as examples to be followed. So all of that nonsense in some of the pastoral letters where it says that women shall keep silence, that women cannot teach men, that was of a patriarchal era whose time, well, it was past then, but it is long past now. There are rules of society, and sometimes those rules of society keep people apart and they separate people by categories. We need to pay attention to that, because when it comes out even in Scripture, we need to figure out how we can change that in our own hearts and lives. I do believe that Jesus misread what was going on internally with Martha that evening. Martha, I'm coming to your defense there. You were named Martha because someone else read that scripture and came to the same conclusion that I did. Even Jesus misread. Listen to this from John 11. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, this was sometimes later when Lazarus was ill, she went and met him while Mary sat in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." And then he looked her in the face and said, "Martha, do you believe this?" Listen. She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, he who is coming into the world." We always hear about Peter's confession of faith. Why don't we hear about Martha's confession of faith? Jesus, when he was talking to Martha, though, in that first instance, when he was defending Mary's, we won't call it laziness. We will call it little sisterliness. He said, "There is only one thing that is necessary. One thing that is necessary." What was that one thing? What was that one thing? Remember when he was asked by the lawyer in a sermon a couple of weeks ago, what's the most important thing? And what did the lawyer answer correctly with? Yeah, which was the end of that, "Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and your neighbor as yourself." So how do we do that? Again, I'm going to go back to that one thing. First of all, we've got to be in the forgiveness people, in the forgiveness business. We as a people of faith need to stand ready to forgive how many times? Well, it doesn't really mean 490, but it says 70 times 7, which is to mean that forgiveness needs to be a part of who we are. Okay, I want each of you to think right now of one instance of something that's going on in your life that you are at odds with one of your sisters and brothers. Okay? Not your just family sisters and brothers, one of your sister and brother human beings. Think of that person right now, and I want you to close your eyes and internally forgive that person for their part in your difference. Do that right now. Just, you've held on to this long enough. Forgive them. And as you do that, you will come to the ability to break down the barriers that separate people. That person that you're holding in your mind's eye right now, there's probably a barrier up. Now, you may never fully reconcile with that person, but you can break down the barrier so that you can see that person, remember, as thou, as another person, as thou. We must do that as the church. We must break down barriers in this life, the barriers that separate people. We must take care, Jesus and all of Scripture says, we must take care of the poor. I had someone recently, not one of y'all, talk to me about that they were fine with that as long as it is the deserving poor. I'm not sure I understand what that means. Does that mean that they deserve to be poor? Or does that mean that they deserve help because their being poor is somehow not of their own doing, that they were poor simply by fate or by their family constellation or where they live or what they do? But we are told in so many words to take care of the poor. When someone comes to our food pantry, they need an identification, but we don't ask them any questions. Are you really sure you need this basket of food? Don't you have any food at home? When you're out of food completely, come back and see us. No. If they show up, they are fed. They get a food basket. If you ask it of us, we will give it. Another thing I've learned is that sometimes doctrine can take the place of faith. Does that make any sense to you? It didn't to me when I first wrote it down in the middle of the night, but the more I thought about it, it does. Sometimes the things that we believe, you line up your doctrines one after another. Someone give me a one sentence of your doctrine. What do you believe? What is the doctrine of your belief? Okay, but is that a doctrine or is that a faith statement? It's both. It is both. But sometimes doctrines can become as holy writ about who we should associate with, who we shouldn't associate with, what is forgiven and what is not forgiven. And we make those lists of those things. And sometimes that can replace our faithful living. And then what you and I need to do is you and I need to make this church the most welcoming place in Conroe, Texas. People that come here and come back, when I visit in homes and visit here and you tell me why you came back, it's always because of the folks. It's always because you received a welcome that was unusually cordial. But we must pay special attention to that. Make the church, this church, the most welcoming place in Conroe. Martha and Mary welcomed Jesus into their home that evening. They responded to him differently, didn't they? They did. Martha kept busy setting the table, cleaning what she needed to clean. Mary sat as a student. And that was right in that statement that Amy made. It was almost within the law of their faith. When a rabbi, and Jesus was a rabbi, he was known as a rabbi, that when a rabbi spoke, you sat at the rabbi's feet and listened intently. And that's what Mary did. Who was wrong in that? Neither one. They welcomed him differently. Martha, by working to make sure that Jesus felt at home with food and a clean place to stay and all of that. And Mary, by simply sitting at his feet and listening. When Jesus knocks on the door of your heart, desiring entry, how will you respond? And that's the question for all of us. Amen.